This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
It's Matthew. It happens us.
Is that Swahili?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
No. Swahili would never be with the 40-foot pole of... I can't even talk right now. This show is so bad. yeah, I would never insult Swahili with comparing it to this. You're gonna find out. Just we'll talk about it. It's bad, guys. It's really bad. Bad. Like if you listen to our episode about the Tooth Fairy 2 with Larry the fucking cable guy. Man, I actually think this is probably worse than that, actually. That's how bad this is.
I'll agree with you. I'd rather watch Tooth Fairy 2 again.
Yeah.
Yep. While getting a root canal.
Yeah.
So, this show was a TV pilot called Blit Happens, created by and starring Ricky Blit, I'm sorry, a writer who's written for things such as Family Guy and other shows. It was also co-written by Peter Farrelly, and directed by Peter and his brother Bobby, who you may know from There's Something About Mary and Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber. Yep. Those guys.
Yep, those guys decided to go all in on Blit Happens.
Yep.
Just in case you don't understand, Blit Happens is like a play on words for shit happens. Just in case you didn't get it. Very clever.
Oh my gosh, I didn't get that until right now.
That's what it meant. Yeah, that's what they're really highbrow stuff here.
Yes. And it co-starred Cameron Diaz, Shannon Elizabeth, Jim Parsons in a turn prior to his fame in Big Bang Theory, which is something I'm going to say right now is a far superior sitcom than this was.
Which is sad.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm. You got Bokeem Woodbine and David Koechner as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, what were they thinking? I guess this was like during the era when, they're still doing it now, but like, I think this was like the beginning of the whole, like, we're going to do a show, but we're going to actually talk about real people within the show itself, like not just like an actor. So like, we're talking about Cameron Diaz, the person within the show, not Cameron Diaz playing a different role. You know, yeah. Like that seems like that was like 2003 seems to be like that was like when that all started. Like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if like we had a TV show and we're like actually talking about like an actor within the show itself, but we're actually talking about the actor? Wouldn't that be so unique? And like everyone's like, yeah, that's really unique. And it's like how fucked up was TV for so long? Like, I mean, like how, I guess, well, I mean, how uncreative was TV for so long where that became like, yeah, man, like.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so you've got this like insider type thing. And so in this era, you did have something kind of similar to this in certain ways, done much better, called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yep, I was just going to say that. It kind of reminds me of them trying to do that.
Yeah, this was, I mean, Curb came out in 2000, and this came out in 2003. It's like, it kind of like wanted to be Curb Your Enthusiasm, but not in a documentary type style like that show is. And you got this main star who's like an awkward person who fucks up everything. But somehow you have sympathy for Larry David, but you don't for Ricky Blitt.
How could you?
And you can relate to Larry for some reason, but you can't with Ricky. It's just...
Which is weird, right? Because you can relate to Larry, who is a multimillionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't relate to Blitt, even though he works at like a call center, just because his personality is just that terrible.
Yeah. So what happens in this show, Matt?
Oh, God, you're going to... Lay this on me. Okay, so
well, you can start. I'll take over if you want.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. So what happens is Blitt. What's this character's name? Is it just Blitt or is it?
It's Ricky Blitt. He plays himself. Yeah.
Okay. So great. He plays himself just like Larry David. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're actually doing like the full on format here. Okay. So he's talking to Cameron Diaz. He's got like a script. And she's like, just, you know, going on about, you know, how much, you know, she loves the script and, you know, she really, really wants to be part of the show or whatever. And then they just start like hanging out and just talking for a while. And then somehow the subject gets on how he's a virgin or something like that. And then she offers to take his virginity.
People were calling him Virgin Airlines and Virgin Mobile and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just a terrible joke. I mean, like, just not funny at all. Like, and like, I mean, like, it's a mean thing to say for one thing, but just it's objectively not funny.
No.
Like, you put that in a show, you reviewed it, and then you're like, yeah, let's just pass this on to Fox. Really? Okay. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so she offers to, you know, quote, deflower him, her words. And then, you know, he's like, no, you know, it's okay or whatever. But then I guess they're about to make out. And then all of a sudden, you know, it turns out the whole thing was a daydream, because of course it was. Because, not to be mean or anything like that. I mean, I know, you know, I don't really believe in, like, leagues, like, oh, this person's out of your league, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I sort of do. I do and I don't. It's like a weird push and pull. But, like, I really don't see someone like Cameron Diaz just, like, I'm going to go jump this guy's bones. Like, whatever. Okay. Maybe she would. I don't know. But I'm just, I don't think so. And so... You know, he like snaps out of his daydream, and it turns out that he's working at a call center, just like, you know, like about soap or shampoo, a bunch of bullshit, whatever. And his friend, or I guess like his coworker, is played by I forgot his name, but he's like in like everything.
David
like,
Koechner.
He's in like in everything. He's like his work friend, I guess, or slash real friend.
Yeah, and you know David Koechner as like you know, from he had a recurring role on The Office. He's in the Anchorman movies. He's, you know, in everything. So yeah.
Yeah, literally everything. Like Waiting Part 2, he was in that.
Yeah, in Waiting Part 1. Yeah.
That's right, yeah, he was in both. And he was also in Final Destination 5 or 4, I'm not sure which
really?
One. Yeah, he gets killed in the movie. One of the he plays like the teacher, one of the teachers. He's one of the ones that gets killed in the movie. But so he's like, he's kind of like his work friend. Like, he's kind of like the dude who's like, like all these shows always have like the really serious friend and then like the crazy friend and like he's like the crazy guy or whatever. And it turns out that Ricky Blitt ends up getting a call or a text or whatever saying that studio wants to pick up an episode or do like a series of episodes for his show. And then his friend or his colleague or whatever somehow got it in his mind that he was going to work with him. And you could step in now about what happens from there.
Yeah, basically he's convinced that they made a pact, which they never probably made, that if one of them made it, that the other one would bring them along. And which, by the way, never do with anybody unless you know for sure you're going to do that.
Right.
Just saying. Don't ever say, if a friend of yours comes up to you and is like, when you make it, Mike, don't forget me. The common courtesy thing to do is just like, I'll try not to. Because Blit happens and you never know what's going to happen in life. And you may not be able to hire your buddy that you stock shelves with at Walmart. And but the
right.
No, just saying. But you can try. I mean, I'm saying, be altruistic if you can, but don't, But but anyway, so he's the name of his script is the Cameron Diaz Show. Which he intends to star Cameron Diaz. So he basically, his buddy's like, yeah, we got a party, we got to go, get some stuff. And he's like, just gets on his bus and goes home and, basically ignores David Koechner's character. He ends up going to see his friend that works at a copy shop played by Jim Parsons in a very non-Sheldon sort of role, which actually shows you the great ability of Jim Parsons as an actor, which I'm going to say wholeheartedly, which I've said before, the cast of Big Bang Theory is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they could put up with that shit for that many seasons and somehow make it, I guess, slightly palatable to people shows how great of actors they are. And then you just watch them in other roles and you're like, yeah, they can act. Yeah, check out Jim Parsons, and there's like a movie with Zac Efron where he's playing Zac Efron's lawyer. It's about Ted Bundy. That's on Netflix.
Mm.
Yeah, check it out. Jim Parsons in a completely different type of role. Anyway, so back to the thing. Okay, Parsons works at a Kinko's type place, and for those of you that didn't know what Kinko's was. Which is sad because it doesn't exist anymore. It was a place where you went and made copies, among other things. Anyway, so he says, "Yeah, let's go celebrate. We'll get the guys together." And they're pointing out, he points out the fact: do we have guys? Yeah. So he's like, "Oh, there's the new guy in the back that Bokeem Woodbine plays." And so he invites him, and so the three of them, go drinking and whatever and hanging out. So there's that. And so then he goes to the – he has a meeting with the Fox executives and his agent. And he's basically there and he's saying, yeah, we're going to do this Cameron Diaz show. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to have Cameron Diaz star in the show. He says, but it's called the Cameron Diaz Show. They're like, yeah, she's a movie star. She's not going to do the, thing. So they end up recasting later and stuff. But while he's there, David Koechner's character is calling in, trying to like basically claim that he has, rights to half of this project. Calls up Ricky's agent and says that he's Tom Cruise, so, you know, you can talk to him and then everything. So, anyways, after that, they, you know, he agrees, you know, yeah, we'll cast somebody else or whatever. And then he goes to visit David Koechner's character and, like, basically let him down or something. Tell him that, you know, yeah, if the show takes off, I'll hire you in the second season. So David Koechner's character jumps out of a window and kills himself.
Yep.
Because suicide is funny, folks.
Oh, it's so funny. This is 2003. Suicide was just so hilarious, yes. Man. I mean, they still do it today.
I know.
But
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he jumps out of the building. He's like, thanks a lot. Then, yeah.
Because that would totally cause you to kill yourself. I'm sorry, but...
Well, if you're that mentally unstable like his character was, apparently, where he thought that just because his work friend got a job... Like, okay, just think about it logically. So, like, just for any other field of work, uh-huh. Where you're like, I got my law degree, and I got a job at a firm, and then your coworker at, like, a movie store or whatever, or, like, at, like, the theater's like, oh, cool, I'm gonna come work with you. It's like, What? Like,
yeah.
Do you have a law degree? Like, what?
No, because, I mean, if you accomplish something on your own, there should be no reason that your friend should expect your coworker, not necessarily a friend even, you know, should expect you to take you along with them, you know, like you said, you know, like, oh, I became a heart surgeon.
Yeah.
Yep. You get to, you know, hold my scalpel for me or something, you know, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he kills himself and then Blit has to witness it and he's like, oh my God. But like, he doesn't really seem that, cause, like, I don't understand this guy's personality. Is it just, is that how he acts as an actor or what? Where it's like,
he has no personality.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's just like, it's like a blank. Well, no, he does. It's that he wants to bang Cameron Diaz. Cause that's the other thing too, is like when he was talking to, Jim Parsons' character, you know, it's like they said something like, oh, he's, you know, be careful or whatever, and he's like, oh, I don't think she'll like want to go out with me, and he's like, no, it's not what I meant. Like, what, seriously? Like,
yeah, it's just like he's convinced that because he's writing a show for an actress that she's gonna want to bang him.
Which is interesting if you think about it, because that's, you know, a lot of that shit came out about Harvey Weinstein and
But
other directors, you know.
But it's usually somebody in power. The writer of a show isn't necessarily in power.
Yeah. Exactly, which makes it even weirder. Yeah, it's like, oh, I wrote the script. Okay, I mean, that's whatever. I mean, it's cool, but
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, again, Cameron Diaz, it's like, come on, man. Like, this was 2003 Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's not hot now, but I'm just saying, like, that was like... Like, if not the, like, pinnacle, I don't know what you would call
this,
it.
This was peak Cameron Diaz, you know? This was Charlie's Angels Cameron Diaz, you know? So it's just
like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was.
It's like, not, you know, not 2021 Cameron Diaz, which he still wouldn't have a chance with. But,
I don't think anyone would.
Well, I mean, her and I are going out on a date tomorrow night. I mean,
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of Cameron Diaz, did you ever see this movie that she was in like the 90s, like probably 97, 96 maybe? It had Liev Schreiber in it, and he plays like this like fascist like wannabe, like he wants, like he's basically like running for like some kind of political office, and he's basically like literally running on like a fascist platform. And, like, she and a bunch of other friends are, like a bunch of college students. Like, they're all, like, progressives and stuff like that. So, like, they, like, invite him over for dinner to, like, just, like, have, like, an honest, you know, conversation about politics. And, like, I guess the plan was, like, to poison him or something like that. It was a really weird movie. You should check it out sometime. Don't know the name of it, but
Let me look that up. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Last Supper. And let's see here, Matt. I don't know if Leah Schreiber was in it.
No, I guess not.
Yeah. But because of that movie, I'm only 2 degrees away from Cameron Diaz.
Well, really?
Yes, because Annabeth Gish is in that movie, and I'm in a movie with Annabeth Gish. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm actually in a scene with her. I'm an extra, but I'm in the movie Home Run Showdown with Annabeth Gish.
There you go.
Who was in The Last Supper with Cameron Diaz. Yep.
Yeah, you check that out sometime if you want. Anyone who's listening or yeah. You. It's
yeah, really might, good. Might check that movie out. But anyways, back. Do you want to take a break, actually, and then we'll come back and finish this plot? And then yeah, and then we'll talk about some reviews and other stuff after this. We'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back, maybe. Anyway, so the check out that Last Supper. It sounds like a good movie. Also, if you're looking for a really good Cameron Diaz movie, check out She's the One, directed by and starring Edward Burns. Yeah, starred and directed by Edward Burns, featuring my Facebook friend, Michael McGlone, who I'm hoping to have on the show soon. I was supposed to have him on before, but then I got busy, so, and then COVID and all this other stuff. So, anyway, so, yeah. But yeah, She's the One. Brilliant soundtrack by Tom Petty. Check the movie out. It's a great independent film. Got Jennifer Aniston's in the movie, too. It's a good movie. So, anywho, also just check out the films of Edward Burns. He's great. So back to this thing that I was trying to avoid talking about. So dude kills himself. Like happens in every TV pilot.
Yep.
So we find out that, Shannon Elizabeth is the new star of the show, of American Pie fame and Jay and Silent Bob fame and stuff. Anyways, so she's the star of the show. There's a meeting that Ricky has with his new crew and stuff, and they're all like being like, you know, hey, you know, give it up for Ricky. He's a great guy and everything. And he stands up there and he's like, yeah, I killed somebody.
Like, what?
Yeah, and everybody's like, yeah. And he's like, I didn't actually kill him, but I caused him to jump to his death, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so,
what a party pooper, man.
Yeah. I think the next time I have a party, I'm going to do that.
You're just going to say I caused someone's death?
Yes.
And then just leave.
Yeah. Leave my own party.
Thanks for the party, everyone. You can just lock up when you're done.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a movie. So he ends up meeting with Shannon. We don't know if this is they play it off where you don't know if this is like in his head or if it's actually happening. And then he starts to basically imply to her that, you know, he wants her to deflower him, and, you know, and then she, you know, appropriately freaks out and leaves, but then says, I'm going to do the show because I don't want to, you know, miss this opportunity or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but basically tells Ricky off that he's not allowed to talk to her anymore.
Yeah, you know, he's got to stay away from her and not even talk to her.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. It's like, yeah. It's just, it's a weird way of sexual harassment, too, because he's doing it in such a way where he's almost acting like he's, like, he's, okay, how do I explain this? Like, he's asking her to deflower him, so, like, that way it seems like it's less harassment. I mean, in his mind, I don't know if, I'm not saying that makes it less harassment, but I'm thinking, like, in his mind, like, that somehow makes it okay. Yeah. Like, well, you'd be the one actually doing the act to me, so therefore, it's all good. Like this dude is just weird.
And then he tries to soften things and make it seem like it's not so bad because he's like, my friend died.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. So you're gonna use? She points that out too. He's like, seriously, you're gonna use your dead friend? Also too, because he said that. Well, just reminded me of a fantasy I had. And she's like, seriously? He's like, no, it wasn't a fantasy about you. It's about Cameron Diaz. I'm like, oh, okay.
Because that'll make it better.
Yeah, you're just standing in for the fantasy I have about someone else. So I'm also insulting you in addition to harassing you by basically saying, well, you're not really the thing I wanted, but yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, you'll do. You're a hot celebrity too, so it's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. What a great guy.
Yeah. So, God, this movie, this sitcom.
Yeah.
Horrible. Miserable. So, anyways, he goes to the funeral for David Koechner's character. David Koechner, I don't even remember. I think it was Don or something. I don't know. But anyways, the thing is it's not even listed on IMDb. It just says David Koechner's in the show. It doesn't give you the name of the two characters he plays in the show.
Wow.
Because at the funeral, David Koechner's character's brother comes up and gives a eulogy. Talking about, you know, how, you know, he was trying to reconcile with his brother and everything. And yeah, he's and this is being played by David Koechner as well. So I'm assuming he's a twin.
Yeah, he said earlier in the episode that he had a twin.
Yeah. And, I totally forgot that because this show made me pay attention so much. Anyway, so, the. I mean, okay, so I don't know. Anyway, so he talks. He says something to the brother after the funeral, and then the family is trying to find out if they know why his brother died and killed himself. And so he says it was because he had AIDS. Because not only does this show make fun of suicide, it also makes fun of AIDS.
Yep, and plus two, his brother too goes, I didn't know he was gay. I'm like, wow.
And he says, no, he got the good kind from a hooker.
The good kind of it, yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Of course, that could have just been their attempt of like being edgy or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Edge humor, man.
And I mean, I know this was like almost 20 years ago, but it's still... I don't know. It's like... And this was even past the point where people were automatically associating AIDS with gay people.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't something like from the 80s or even like the early 90s or whatever.
I mean, this was even after the point where people like Magic Johnson have come out as HIV positive and, you know, we know he's not gay. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The good kind of AIDS. Which is interesting, right? Because we're talking about Kirby Enthusiasm, right?
Yeah.
And how, like, they're trying to format this around that. Okay, there's an episode of Kirby Enthusiasm. Maybe this was, like, kind of like a homage to that, or maybe they just ripped it off entirely. I'm not sure. But there's an episode of Kirby Enthusiasm where Larry's... dentist, his father had Hodgkin's disease, and then Larry goes, which kind is he? Is the good kind of Hodgkin's? And he's like, there really is no good kind of Hodgkin's. Like, well, I know, I just mean like the less bad version. And like, he mentions this like throughout the whole episode, like, yeah, he had the good kind of Hodgkin's. So I'm like, I wonder if that was an implicit homage or more of just like, I want to be like Kirby Enthusiasm, so I'm just gonna like steal everything I can but not do it in a good way.
Yeah.
I hope you're not Facebook friends with this guy, by the way.
I don't think I am, but you never know.
Because I always feel bad every time I end up trashing a show.
Well,
and then you end up telling me you're Facebook friends
The thing with it is I think a lot of these people know how bad something is that they had.
Okay. Okay. I just feel bad afterwards, like, man, like...
A lot of these people have more successful things that happen in their lives, even including Ricky Blitt, you know, so it's true. Just, like...
True, yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm going to bring it up right now, just bring up his filmography. He was a writer on the TV show Loudermilk, which ran for a while. Was a writer on Family Guy for a while. He wrote the movie The Ringer, starring Johnny Knoxville, which was about the guy who posed as a mentally handicapped person to join the Special Olympics.
Is that a real story? Did that happen?
I don't know if it was a true story, but the movie was actually... Because the cast included a lot of people with special needs. And it was actually endorsed by the Special Olympics. Like, they were fine with it. And I mean, a lot of people that... I saw the movie, but it's been so long I don't remember it much. But I know that people, like, with special needs and their families and stuff actually really like the movie. So, it's, you know... Like my sister likes the movie, and my nephew has Down syndrome, so it, you know, and he's a medalist in the Special Olympics, so yeah, I'm very proud of Trevor. Trevor Mailer is a great kid. He's so cool. He wants to be a filmmaker and he wants to be a athlete and all this other stuff. So he's awesome. a great kid. And he's, you know, like I said, he's a medalist in the Special Olympics. So, but Blitt wrote on that. He wrote on the TV series Brotherly Love with the Lawrence brothers. Wrote on the Jeff Foxworthy show.
No, not like that one so much.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, he's done successful things, or slightly successful things, so I'm not really, yeah. You know. Wrote an episode of The Parenthood with the show that starred Robert Townsend. Did some voices on Family Guy. Played a mobster in the Farrelly Brothers movie Stuck on You. Played a nightclub goer in Shallow Hal by the Farrelly Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's done some good things. But anyways, back to the plot of the show. He basically David Koechner's second character asks if he can be involved in the show, and he kind of tells him that he can. And then what happens?
He just tells him no, and then he kind of just walks away all sad, but then they pull up again, and he says, oh, I'll try to, you know, find something for you, maybe, or if it's a success. I'm like, oh, God, so it's going to start all over again. I think that was the end of it, or am I missing something?
I'm trying to remember if anything else happened. I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought that was the end of the episode, but maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have been the end of the episode.
Yeah. Anyways,
if there was more, then that was just kind of stretching it. But
yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it ended.
So that's Blip happens. Yay.
Yeah. What'd you think of the show, Matt?
I think it was one of the worst things I've ever seen. I mean, that could also be compounded by the fact that the quality of the video that I watched was pretty bad. So, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure if I saw it on, like, you know, 1080 or whatever, I still wouldn't like. But the fact that it was kind of, like, pixelated at times and stuff like that, I'm not a huge fan, but just, I don't know, man. Like, it's like, partly I could sort of understand what they were maybe trying to do, but just really not delivering it, and just like,
yeah, it was like it was going for like a it had like a Curb Your Enthusiasm meets Office Space kind of feel.
Yeah,
but taking the worst elements of both of those things.
Yeah, exactly. And just, yeah. I don't know, just like my least favorite part of the whole thing was like his weird obsession with like wanting to date, or not date, or that's a nice way of saying it, wanting to have sex with, you know, the actresses of a show. It's like, dude, it's like
just assuming that, I mean, of course this was all prior to the whole, you know, Me Too movement and the, you know, Time's Up stuff and everything, but it's... This is still 2003. I mean, it's like,
it's weird. And the thing is too, is like, again, like, I don't really believe like the whole thing of like, oh, if you're not super attractive, then you're not allowed to date someone who's attractive.
I mean,
I don't believe in that, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you're a virgin, but yet your standards are, I'm not gonna have sex unless it's with Cameron Diaz.
Maybe that's the thing. It's like, maybe talk to one of your coworkers at the call center. Maybe, you know, start an actual relationship with a human being that you can actually relate to and have something in common with.
Yeah.
Not saying that somebody that's a writer can't have something in common with somebody of the caliber of Shannon Elizabeth or Cameron Diaz. I'm just saying... And not saying that hasn't happened, because it does. I mean, there's plenty of writers and directors and other people that are with very attractive female stars. But it's just expecting that. That's what it makes you not have any sympathy for this guy whatsoever.
No, not even a little bit. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's like, if you really want, you know, someone or be with someone... The quickest way to turn them off is just to be like so desperate for them. If his plan was like, I want to bang Cameron Diaz, then like, don't act all like, I'm going to hang on every word she says and I'm going to agree and nod my head. No.
And the thing is it gives a, I mean, it's like the guy has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
No, nothing.
That's what's bad about it. He's an asshole. And he's not like he's a loser. He's an asshole. And and based on what he's saying, he doesn't have good looks. It's just like, it's like you have nothing to offer anybody, except for you supposedly wrote a good pilot to a sitcom.
Yeah, a pilot episode.
Yeah,
That's it. So who knows if it actually go anywhere? Obviously, this didn't, which is interesting because the show was about him writing a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show itself didn't get past. Actually, I'm not even sure if this aired or not.
Yeah.
Did this even air?
No, it was unaired.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it never aired on Fox.
Okay.
So, we have one review.
Wow.
A one-star review for this show from somebody I'm pretty sure we've read reviews from before named Martin Haffer. Okay. Which is weird, because on some of these other... I guess he's one of these guys that's going around watching all these pilots like we are.
Maybe.
This was written on June 7th of 2020. His headline is, "If you find cancer or epilepsy funny, then you just might like this."
Wow.
"Before I found this failed TV pilot on YouTube, I had no idea who Ricky Blitt was. Apparently, he's written some episodes of TV shows like Family Guy and Romantically Challenged. Well, he and the Farrelly brothers got together to make this show, hoping that the TV networks would approve it. Why they didn't is woefully obvious as you watched, as the show simply isn't funny and is in very bad taste. The show begins with Ricky working a job at a call center. He receives word that the script he wrote for a new show has been approved, and the network is thrilled about making his show so much that they give him full creative control over the project. When his friend Don finds out, he begs Ricky to make him the director or producer, even though Don is an idiot and has zero experience in the industry. When Ricky tells him no, Don jumps out of a window to his death. At his funeral, Don's family is naturally broken up, but they also have questions as to why he would take his life. When they ask Ricky, he tells them he killed himself because he had AIDS. I enjoy dark humor sometimes, but the important part of the phrase dark humor is humor. None of the show is funny, and it's understandable as suicide and AIDS are not funny. Who thought this would work as a series? Who thought network execs would watch this and want to make such a show? I only can guess that perhaps Blitt and the Farrellys really didn't want to make a series, and so they deliberately tanked it. It's that bad." Yeah, so I doubt they've deliberately tanked it, because it looks like they put a lot of effort into this.
I know.
I don't know. It's, like, the one good thing I can say is the camera work was good in the show. It was well directed, maybe.
Had good audio.
Yeah. There were people in front of a camera.
Yeah, there were actors, so...
They had the elements of a show.
There was a set, and there were actors.
Yeah.
There was a microphone, a camera.
They were given words to say.
Yes, they had words. They wore clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They
had props.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll give it that.
Oh, boy.
And maybe if it would have gone forward, we wouldn't have had the Big Bang Theory. But,
true. Then again, though, Jim Parsons also wouldn't have, like, a huge career either. So.
Yeah, that's true. And so I'm kind of grateful that it went forward, because Jim deserves, you know,
yeah,
a good career. Anyway, so, oh, God. So, any other thoughts, Matt, before we wrap this up?
Yeah, just, don't watch this. I'm recommending that you don't watch it. Just listen to this. Don't bother actually watching the episode for yourselves, because you're going to waste 22 minutes of your life. So take our word for it.
And if you have already watched it before listening to this, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, but you can commiserate with us. If you did watch it, go to our Facebook group, the All Too Real 2 podcast group, and let us know what you thought. Because I'd be interested in knowing what you thought. If anybody had any differing opinions about this and actually liked it, I'd really like to know why.
Yeah, I would really want to know what's going on in your mind where you think this is good. Like, just tell me what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even awkwardly funny. It's just awkward.
That's exactly what it is. It's dark. It's dark humor, but there's no humor, so it's just dark.
Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of when sometimes people will delete a laugh track out of an episode of Friends, and it's just like this is supposed to be funny,
Where it makes it, I've seen those things where it makes Ross seem really creepy.
Oh, I know. I love those ones where he's like, I tried to attack these two women. They're like, wait, you tried to assault two women? Oh, no, it's okay. I tried to assault them. They didn't let me. And it's like, whoa.
It's like, it's okay. They're my friends. Oh, wait, what?
It's like, one of them is actually my ex-wife. And it's like, who assaulted your ex-wife? He's like, no, I tried to. But then again, that's actually funny because of
the situation, and that's really actually well written.
Yes, exactly. But it kind of reminds me of so one of them that really is bad is the Big Bang Theory, where they're eating dinner and they just take out the laugh track, and it's the saddest group of friends ever, where they just tell a joke, nobody laughs, there's just silence for 10 seconds, and then someone else says something that's supposed to be funny which isn't, there's silence. Then again, no, they were told to be silent because of the laugh track, so that's part of it, but
I will tell you the last time I felt like this was the last few days of a relationship.
Wow.
When you both know it's ending and you're in the room together and you're just basically going through the motions or whatever, and you're just kind of let's watch this TV show.
This is dead.
That's what it felt like watching this.
I have to tell you, I just felt really, really awkward. And again, it's not one of those funny awkward, it's just start actually questioning my life kind of awkward. I'm like, is this what things have come to? I'm just watching shitty TV shows, and then we're just gonna talk about it. That's our lives now.
Well, it's what we do on the podcast.
Pretty much. Then again, though, there's a difference between bad, where you can actually make fun of it, and it actually feels good to make fun of it.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about this episode as we're recording it, to be honest.
I had a really bad week at my actual work where I wanted to kill people. And then watching this after that didn't help.
No, I can't imagine it would. You should treat yourself with some ice cream or something.
I'm going to.
Just make yourself reward yourself for basically putting yourself through this. I know I am. I have a half a sub left. Mm-hmm. Something. I'm gonna get a sub sandwich and just reward myself for the fact that we actually went through. And I know this has nothing to do with the showrunners themselves, but just coincidental. Even the still frame that the video I watched it from looks terrible. It's almost like the show is just destined to bring out the worst out of humanity.
Yeah.
Because it has Tim, it's right at the moment where his friend jumps out, or his coworker jumps out of the building.
Yeah.
And he's like his mouth like half open out of like, oh my God. But it just looks stupid. That's the reason why I never even chose this show. Because like, I thought it was like going to be like some stupid kids show. Cause like the way he looked, it almost looked like you kids, you know, kind of look. And
yeah.
You know, honestly, that would have been a better show than what actually was real. Like a Dennis the Menace kind of situation.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Way. Yeah.
Check out our episode on Dennis the Menace, the Christmas movie or whatever.
I don't think that's aired yet, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We recorded it a while back, but when it comes out, we'll listen to it. Yeah. So, but anyways, enough about this greatness. And so just, you know, just remember Blit happens, man, you know?
Yep.
And shit happens too. And, but, you know, remember, folks, wear a mask. Wear a condom.
Don't take ivermectin.
Don't take ivermectin. Don't listen to people like Jim Brewer or Joe Rogan. Get vaccinated, people. We're all in this together. And we're all going to die together if we don't take care of this fucking thing. I just want to be able to live my life and not have to wear a mask a lot of places, like when I work.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to, you know, only be able to go to a movie when it's like at 10:10 at night. And
exactly.
You know?
That's a great movie, though, by the way.
But yeah,
Shang-Chi,
but yeah, it's just like I want to go back to living life normal. I mean, we may never be able to if people don't start, you know, taking things seriously and listen to science and don't, you know, I know this is, you know, a diatribe here that has nothing to do with this show, but it's pissing me off so much how stupid people are and how they, you know, it's like listen to a scientist and not your, you know, your cousin's friend from Arizona or somewhere. You know, I'm just saying.
Or, you know, your wine moms on Facebook, you know, you know, who, you know, pretty much just pass off alcoholism as though it's a funny little quirky joke because it's wine. I'm like, it's still alcohol.
Yep.
So no matter how you slice it.
Listen to science, not idiots. And, you know, like I said before, wear a mask. Wear a condom. Be kind, rewind, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.